We arrived at day 5 of the Supervise Me project. I could almost call it a challenge, you know, because it sometimes was a challenging experience for all the participants. On day 5, you asked the question, how do we become happy, or how do we stay happy and stay happy in balance? This is, of course, a vital question, but the question behind this question is, what is happiness?
What is happiness? Wow. Well, that must be something personal. For everybody, something different maybe, right? I mean, if I would answer myself, what is happiness? I don't know, I would come up with love, really. So happiness would be love for me. Seeing love, experiencing love, being love, all that. So that would be happiness. That would give me joy. So, yeah, happiness, love, for me.
Tell me about the master class Bert Huibertz gave on that day.
Yeah, Bert Huibertz is a really interesting guy. He used to be like the owner of a big factory, and he's a very technical guy. And at a certain time in his life, he kind of discovered spirituality, and then he set up a center in Amsterdam called the Mirror Center, which is kind of a spiritual center. And he started to give some balance workshops. The workshops are kind of a combination of stuff that is very active, like dancing, jumping, breathing, combined with being still in meditation and get a flow in that, and that is what he's teaching, really. So for this day, we again went out of the La Cartuja de Casella, and we went to a beautiful place with a lake and with nobody around, really nobody around. It's like you were on the moon almost, except for some cows looking at us, being very weird and dancing on house music first to get the activity going, and then going to meditation and to rest, and then again being active and so on. So Bert guided us through this meditation, and that was the masterclass of that day, which was a very interesting experience. I mean, bouncing around, dancing on house music, on Pump Up the Jam, on Technotronic and stuff, in 11 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in nature with just some cows around you is kind of surreal, right?
Yeah.
But it did the job, so we totally went to inside ourselves through that meditation, the balance workshop from Bert Huibertz.
Well, some witnesses were really stepping up on this day. They even organize workshops.
Yeah, I was saying about the day before that some witnesses were eager to step into the discussion and wanted to participate in the live questions. What also happened was that the witnesses started to organize their own workshops. It came out of the blue, really. As everybody has something to share, as everybody has a story, as everybody has a talent to share and to inspire other people. We had Klaas, one of the witnesses. He said, okay, I'll have some more Walk of Silences early in the morning, so everyone wants to join me. We had Zaraida Groenhart, who was teaching salsa workshops in the evening to us, which was a lot of fun. And even, and that was very special, our cameraman, our co-director, Rob, he felt inspired to, first of all, perform a stand-up comedy kind of act, which was very funny, and then show us his documentary that he shot in South Africa, which was very inspirational, about the many kids living on the streets because their parents or died from HIV or left them behind or stuff like that. But then see the spirit of those kids was so inspiring again for all of us. And so that was the fun thing. Everybody really got engaged, and there was no difference between wise witness, even, you know, the production crew. Everybody was part of this spiritual experiment. It was a great thing to see happening.
Len, you seem so happy all the time.
they tell me, yeah, you're like happy all the time. That can't be.
Yeah, I mean, are you?
It's high, easy for you, they say.
Are you high on love, Len?
That's it, exactly. I am. I must be high on love. I mean, there's tons of love out there, and I guess I'm tapped into it. That's why I'm being very happy. I think 99% of the times. And even when I'm not happy, I'm kind of happy anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, but what
I'm weird.
What is the secret, you know, behind this connection? Because you say I'm tapped in most of the time or all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's possible as long as you're in a human body, but you seem to be.
See, now you look at me like everybody else, like, yeah, I can't be. You can't be happy all the time.
No, I don't believe that, but maybe it's, you know.
I must say. I believe I'm kind of, first of all, I'm happy all the time, really.
There's,
if I'm not happy, if something happens, something bad happens, and bad stuff doesn't happen to me because my perception of bad is changed into, hey, there's a learning moment, there's a teacher, there's a way for me to grow, expand.
Yeah.
So if you change that perception into this, all the bad stuff is kind of exciting, like, right? I mean, you can learn, can expand, you can grow. So with that, it's easier to stay happy.
Yeah.
And the secret, the key to it is that I'm so in touch with my heart all the time, every time, whatever I do, I listen to my heart. I let myself be guided by my heart. And you know, when something bad happens, it takes 1 second, and then I see because in everything bad, is something really good.
Yeah.
So I look at that. If I'm in the dark, I look at the spark. And if I'm to put it kind of, if I'm laying on the ground in the shit, I stand up because I see no point, even in a logical, you know, even from my mind kind of way, to stay in there.
Yeah.
Somebody told me if I walk through hell, I keep walking.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, you know.
Just keep walking. Yeah.
Yes, and it's practice. It's doing it. And in the beginning, it's hard. And I've had my share of shit and hardship and everything. I've had it. I mean, I think everybody has actually.
Yeah,
I was writing part of the new book, and I was like listing all the bad stuff because people need to hear bad stuff before they accept that you have some good stuff to share.
Yeah.
So I was like listing the bad stuff, and I was like, wow, I've had like a really shitty life also, but. Then again, I've never focused on it, and I took the good stuff out of it, and so I grow, and I listen, and I expand, and stuff like that. And I was at a seminar once with Richard Branson, and he was saying something that was very alike. He was saying, I forget the bad stuff. He just forgets it.
Yeah.
And just like me, when I was listening, I was like, oh my God, that's my life, that's also my life. But I forgot most of it. I never stayed with it, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to distinguish from which perspective you are looking at the experience or the event. Because if you look at the perspective of the logical mind, brain, then you will always judge it. Oh, this is bad and this is good. But if you look from the perspective of the heart, from the perspective of the soul, you will always see the gift in every experience. So every experience is an opportunity to grow spiritually. And there are no bad experiences because every experience is a situation where you can learn, grow, and win.
It's really all good.
Yeah.
But that's easy to say.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the perspective. If you look from the perspective of the soul, then you can see the gift in every experience.
I think that to become happy and to feel that balance or however you want to call it, that is really the key. That's really the code that you just said. That's the, you know, change your perception of things.
Yes.
And from changing your perception, there's much growth to be taken in.
Well, I had to think about the story you told me earlier about Michael Beckwith before we started the interview, because you told me something bad happened and then something bad happened and then something bad happened, and that all led up to meeting Michael Beckwith.
Yeah, I still got to tell that story. When do I tell that story?
Right now.
Should I tell it right now?
Yeah.
the bad stuff happening and then the good stuff coming out of it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell that story. So Michael Beckwith is the voiceover of Supervise Me, Law of the Heart. And as you know, in your experience with making your movie and trying to connect with all those big people in the spiritual world, and coming from this small little country, you know, you've never done a documentary or a movie or something like that. It's new for you. So you've tried to connect, and the same thing I did. I tried to connect with Michael Beckwith, thinking I need a voiceover, and who would be a cool voiceover? Well, you know, I would love it if it was Michael Beckwith. So I have this. I have my friend in New York, and she reached out to Michael Beckwith's people, you know, explaining there's this Len Branson from Belgium, Holland, and he made a documentary. No, we don't have any footage yet, but here's the picture, and this is the concept, and we would love to have Michael Beckwith as the voiceover. So they said no. they said no. He can't. There's contractual obligations with PBS, which is one of the TV stations in the States. So it was a no. So I accepted it. It was a no. Michael was not going to be involved. And I always feel that something better will be involved. If something doesn't go through, something better will come in. So I was okay with it. I was at peace. Anyway, when I came back from Spain from the 9 days, as this was also to become a book, I decided to book a flight to Bali to write the book, Supervise Me. And now we're talking about December 2009, a couple of months after Spain. So the first bad thing that happens in this whole process is that I go to the airport and the plane is canceled to Bali. So I'm like, okay, I want to go to Bali, write this book about love and wisdom. And it's all good stuff and law of attraction. And here we are. The plane is canceled. So when is the next plane? We don't know.
You were protected there because Eat, Love, Pray was already written.
Exactly, something. So I said, when is the next plane? So they said, we don't know, which is weird because from Holland to Bali, Indonesia, there's many planes going and it's always working. And there I was, and I only had 14 days to do this because I like scheduled 14 days out of my calendar to write the book. And not going to Bali on that day would mean I would lose a couple of days, because if I would go the next day or the next day, I would lose days. So I said, you know what, can I cancel this flight? And they said, yes, you can. I said, oh, I canceled the flight. I went back home and I went online and I thought, you know what, I want to have peace. I want to go to a place where I know the way and I want to have sun. So normally I would go to Florida because I know Florida. I've lived there. I went to high school there. Florida would be the place. But somehow I didn't book a flight to Florida. I booked a flight to Los Angeles, thinking I'm going to write my book in Palm Springs, Los Angeles. Now, I arrive in Los Angeles with Virgin, by the way. That was a motivation, Virgin Airlines. I'm thinking I'm going with the airplane of Richard Branson. That's kind of cool. I'll do that. So I arrive in Los Angeles, and now the next bad thing happens. So first of all, my plane is canceled, and suddenly I'm in Los Angeles. Second of all, I arrive and I go to Alamo to pick up my rental car. Now, you have to imagine, this is like an international airport, right?
LAX.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I go to Alamo. There's a line of 100 people in front of me.
Yeah.
Now, that's one thing. So the other thing is, there's a parking lot where normally the cars are that you rent. That parking lot is empty. And I'm not exaggerating. It's empty. Not even expensive cars are there. It's empty. And the only thing that is happening right there is people are there screaming because they get checked in from a huge line. They've been sent to the parking lot and there's no cars to pick up. So everybody's returning. So you should imagine this place of Alamo being chaotic and people being checked in, sent to the parking lot, coming back screaming there's no cars. Da, 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 da. Horrible, right? So anyway, I'm in that line just waiting and thinking, let's see what happens. Because that's what I learned. I learned that I have to allow stuff, and it's all for the better good. But again, I mean, this looks very bad. Anyway, I get to the counter, and like, there's no cars, right? No, there's no cars. Okay, can you bring me to the hotel? So I'm like the only guy. They get a car, like a bus or something, and they transport me to the hotel. And the other people are still screaming. I'm saying, okay, it's fine. So next day, I'm back there, 6 o'clock in the morning. There's three people in front of me. There's tons of cars. Everything is solved. Everything is fine. So I get in line, and there's a guy behind me that was there the night before as well. And we start talking, you know. So yeah, it was very heavy. I said, yeah, I meditated. Yeah, me too. Okay, well, boom. We talk, and we split. We go to the counter, get our cars, and I think that's it. I'm not going to see this guy again. It was a Swedish guy, by the way. a very nice guy. Anyway, I decided to go to Venice the first day.
You mean Venice Beach?
Venice Beach, yes, part of Los Angeles. And then leave to Palm Springs to write my book. I know Palm Springs to be very quiet and very peaceful, so I thought that's where I'm going to be. But I like Venice Beach somehow. I listen to my heart. My heart is saying, hey, Len, it's singing to me. Stay here. It's fun. So I stay in Venice Beach, and I write my book. I go to like the cool places, the raw food places, the massages, and I have tons of fun. And suddenly I run into this Swedish guy again. And like he seems to like the same restaurants, the same places. So we run into each other a couple of times. And he's saying, you should talk to this journalist from Reader's Digest. I'm like, okay. So I make an appointment with the journalist of Reader's Digest to talk about Superwise Me. Now, we have a meeting and I'm early. So I go online to continue writing on my book, right? So now what happens? I get a virus on my computer. A virus. I never get a virus. I don't even have the antivirus stuff. I never get a virus. And now here I am, writing a book about love, inner wisdom, a law of attraction. It's good stuff I'm doing, and I get a virus? That's interesting. Why a virus? I ask the universe. I mean, I'm doing good stuff. Anyway, I don't get frustrated. I don't get mad. I allow it to be another bad thing, right? A plane that doesn't go through, a car that wasn't there, a virus on my computer while I write a book of a lifetime that is so important to the world. I mean, come on, what is that? So I go on my phone, I type in Google, blah, blah, blah. I type in virus, computer, PC fixer, whatever. And I get a number on top of the Google ranking. And I call that number and say, hey, guys, I got a problem. Can you fix my computer? I have a virus. They're like, okay, you know, no problem. Where are you at? I'm like, okay, I'm on Barrington, which is a street. They say, okay, take a left. So I take a left, boom. And I follow the direction of the guy. And he's not guiding me to a commercial place or something. I'm thinking I'm going to a store or something, or like a mall or something, right? But I'm getting into a neighborhood and it's getting dark. And I'm like, where am I? What is this? What is happening? I was like totally, I'm not freaking out again. I mean, I don't freak out. I let it be. So I was like totally interested in to see what was going to happen. So I arrive at his door. He's opening the door. There's cats all over the place. And it's like just a regular house. I'm like, where am I? So he said, yeah, come to the back. So I go to the back. And there's like a little shop set up there. So he starts fixing my computer. I'm like, okay, you know, this is a computer guy working at home. Interesting. Still not knowing what am I doing here, right? So we start talking, and first you talk computer stuff, like Steve Jobs, yeah, Apple, yeah, Bill Gates, yeah. That's the stuff you talk about with a computer guy in the beginning. And after a while, he's like, so what are you doing? I say, I'm writing a book about self-development, personal growth. And he's like, oh, my God, I love that. Since I was 11, I've been into that. This is really cool stuff. I'm like, yeah. So I was kind of happy that this computer guy was a spiritual computer guy. How cool is that? You know, if you have a virus, then this is a cool thing. So I was like,
that's a great title for a book, by the way, The Spiritual Computer Guy.
Exactly. So I was grateful, actually, for the virus bringing me to this place that I would never go to because it was totally out of my comfort zone as well. Now, this is the interesting part. My plane to Bali didn't go through, right? I'm suddenly in Los Angeles. And I didn't know that Michael Beckwith, his offices were based in Los Angeles. I didn't know his spiritual center was based in Los Angeles because I had a friend approaching them and I never got into that. I just said, I want Michael Beckwith. So I'm in Los Angeles not knowing that I am in the hometown of Michael Beckwith. But I'm talking to this computer guy. The computer guy is like, I'm saying like, yeah, so I'm doing a documentary as well. And I asked Michael Beckwith to be the voiceover. He's like, Michael Beckwith. I'm like, yeah, Michael Beckwith. Did you know that his spiritual center is like 10 minutes away from where you are right now? I'm like, no, I didn't know. How cool. He's like, oh, wait, hold on. I have a friend that knows Michael. So he's calling his friend Wayne. I got Len here. And he knows, he supervised me, and he asked Michael to be part of it. Maybe you should meet him. Maybe you can help him. I don't know. Stuff is happening, right? So I kind of understand now why I have, you know, my plane wasn't going through, why my car wasn't there in time, why I got a computer virus, because it's all connected. This is like the butterfly effect, the full effect. Every small detail matters, right? So I'm sitting there talking. This Wayne is coming in. Next thing I know, day after, we're all going together to Agape, which is the spiritual center of Michael Beckwith. And it's such an amazing place. And Michael is on stage there every Wednesday, every Sunday, doing his stuff, teaching people. It's amazing. It's super cool. So I was like totally happy now, being very grateful for the virus that it brought me all the way to, like, you know, the distance and near distance of Michael Beckwith. The experience was so cool. I loved it. Now, the next day, because this is not the end of the story, the next day I get a mail from my friend in New York saying, Len, did you know that our proposal to get Michael Beckwith as the voiceover of Supervise Me is back on the table? I'm like, no, I didn't know. And then I told her, did you know that I went to Agape yesterday and that I'm in LA right now instead of Bali? She's like, get out of here. Anyway, we were both like, oh my God, this is so funny. Anyway, so she gives me the number of the assistant of Michael. And the next day I called the assistant of Michael, telling her, you know what, I'm here in LA now. I'm Len Branson, Supervise Me. We asked Michael and blah, 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 blah. If you need to see me, if you need to talk to me, you know, I'm here. Now, they don't call me back. They're like, they think the story is cool, but they don't call me back or anything. And I'm totally cool with it. I'm like, if it needs to be Michael, it'll be Michael. If not, it won't be Michael. It's fine. It's okay. I'm totally at peace. So I go back. I finish the book and, you know, I go back home to Holland to continue the editing of the documentary and stuff. 2 weeks later, we get a mail. Michael Beckwith is in. 3 months later, I'm back in LA working with Michael Beckwith, doing a voiceover of Supervise Me. And this is a story of something bad happened, something bad happened, something bad happened, something bad happened. And suddenly, there I am. You know, my wish was granted in an amazing way. And I think this is so inspirational. And being part of that experience for me, you know, it shows so much. So whenever something bad happens now, I'm like, wow, I wonder what good will come out of this one.
Yes.
So that's a story about Michael Beckwith. I hope you like that story.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And it shows us, as long as we stay aligned with our soul and with our inner being and with our heart, then we are always being guided back home, back to where we should be in the first place. And if we ignore that force, then we always end up in a place where we don't see where we should be headed.
Yeah, yeah. The magical place that you can go to.
And there's no more support from the universe. And there, nothing bad really happened in your whole adventure. It was only guidance, and it was only showing you the way, and the universe was supporting you, and your job was to trust.
Yes.
And stay in that trust.
And allow, and say yes.
Yes.
And stuff like that, because I could have gotten mad and frustrated at the airport.
Yeah.
I could have gotten mad and frustrated at Alamo. I could have, computer virus, god damn.
Yeah.
Sorry,
beep.
You know, and I didn't. So it was really good practice for me also.
This is the heart in action.
Yes.
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 And
power of the heart.
Exactly. And I think that everyone who has been listening can now take the time and ask the question for themselves.
Yes.
How to become or stay happy and in balance.